Thank you. Please be seated. Well, I was thinking about the wonderful places you're all from, and I've lived in most of the states you're from. And if I haven't, I've had many visits there. So I know that what we're going to read about today works everywhere you live. I've tried it, and it works. There are times you think this is great stuff, but what about when I'm not at camp? Well, God's word works when you're at camp and when you're not at camp. That's the great thing about it. A lot of things change. You may live in different places. You may be around different people, but God's word always works. So we're going to read about being righteous. Righteousness is talked about in the Old Testament. It's talked about in the New Testament. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's, you know, the noun form, righteousness. And it's also from the same root that's translated to justify. It basically means to be upright or to be lawful, to be right, not to be unlawful or crooked or in any way off the ball. And in the New Testament, where it says we're righteous, it's the verb to justify comes from the exact same root. Actually, the same thing's true in the Old Testament, except they're Hebrew words. So when we're justified, we become righteous. And there are a lot of various statements you've heard about it that all help communicate. Like one is, when I'm justified, it's just as if I'd never sinned. That's a good way to remember it. Righteousness is spoken of as being this wonderful position with God where there's no conflict between you and God. There's no sense of sin or guilt. And think about it in your daily life. If you are righteous, if you're lawful, you know, if you're going along at the speed limit and you haven't run over any pedestrians and you see a police car come up behind you, you're not quite as nervous. I mean, they always make everybody a little nervous, but it's different if, you know, if you're driving 20 miles over the speed limit and just ran three red lights and knocked over a few bicycles. You know that in the eyes of the law, you're not quite lawful. There is conflict between you and the peace officer with the swirling strobe light on his car. There's a difference. But if you know you're following the law, you might get a little nervous just because he's a policeman, but you're not near as nervous as you would be otherwise. And that's the way it is when we're righteous before God. We know we're justified, we're upright, we're lawful. There's no conflict between us and God. And in the Old Testament, they tried to be righteous by following the law. And God looked at the fact that they were trying and they were believing him, and he said, okay, you're righteous. But they never got fully there. They never were completely righteous. It took Jesus Christ to make people completely righteous, and that's the righteousness we have today. And it's all part of the new birth. Dr. Worrell used to, many of us learned God's word from originally, used to talk about in the new birth, you get all this great stuff wrapped up in God's spiritual cellophane. You know, you ever have somebody give you a gift basket, and, you know, maybe there's a little box of chocolates and a really big ripe pear and maybe a pineapple and, you know, sometimes a bottle of wine or some crackers or something. And it's all wrapped up in this cellophane with this big note on it that says, happy whatever. And it's all wrapped up. It's one package with all this cool stuff in it. Well, when we get born again, there's all this cool stuff in there. Doug last night talked a little bit about it. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're born again of incorruptible seed. Well, another part of that new birth package is being righteous. Where you are right before God, there is nothing unlawful that would keep God from talking to you. You don't have to be scared when you go to God. You don't have to say, God wouldn't listen to me because I got this thing I did wrong or this bad thought or somebody thinks I'm an idiot. Of course, if I were worried about going to God because somebody thinks I'm an idiot, I would never pray because there's usually somebody around that thinks I did something dumb, and half the time they're right. But that doesn't matter. Because before God, I'm still righteous because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Well, enough introduction. Let's read the word. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 25. Many, many commandments. Let's go back to the beginning of chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. Deuteronomy 6:1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. They were in the wilderness, they were going to go into the promised land, and God says, when you get there, this is what I want you to do. Why? Verse 2, that thou mightest fear or reverence the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And then it goes on and goes through basically what we call the Ten Commandments and some similar laws. And then it says in verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness. We will be lawful. We will be justified. We will be right before God. We will be upright and respectful, respectable. And to be respected, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded it, as he hath commanded us. So that's how being righteous before God was defined in the Old Testament. Live the law. Carry out the commandments. And that got them to a certain level of righteousness. But, as we'll see in Acts 13, nobody ever completely followed the law to the end that they got completely righteous. You know, I think of a little league coach that may have some really, really new players. And he doesn't quite have the players to get the team he wants, but he just does the best he can with what he's got. And they go out and they play and they win a game the whole season. They win one game and, you know, and he does pretty well. But then one year he gets some really good players and they go and they win the championship. And that's what he really wanted, but he does the best he can with the other team. And that's good they at least win one game. Well, that's sort of the way it was with righteousness under the law. They did pretty well. And God accepted that they were doing the best they could. But it was never complete. Because Acts 13:39 says, or let's go back to verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, Acts 13:39, Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified, are made righteous from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So by following the law of Moses, they attained a certain level of righteousness and justification. But Jesus Christ did the job completely. The things they couldn't be justified from because they couldn't live the law perfectly enough, Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the law of Moses and then gave his life to pay for our complete righteousness. Wow. You know, it's like if there's some fancy show and all you can afford is the tickets up in what they call the nosebleed level, you know, the very back row of the balcony. And you're glad to get in that far. But then some rich friend of yours who has connections with the producer shows up and, you know, gets you front row center seats. You never could have gotten them, but he got you in. And it was pretty good that you could at least get up in the balcony. Well, that's sort of as far as people got through the law. They attained a certain level of righteousness. But to really get front and center, completely righteous before God, that took Jesus Christ's ministry. Which is why, again, it says in verse 39, by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified, made righteous from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Look at Romans 3. and verse 20. Romans 3, verse 20. Actually, let's go back to verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, talking about the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are what? Under the law. So it's not addressed to us because we're not under the law anymore because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and we're free from the law of sin and death. What? But the believers in the Old Testament were under the law. So verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, verse 20, by the deeds of the law, how many people will be justified or made righteous? Nobody. Because the full righteousness we have through Jesus Christ, nobody ever attained to. Nobody ever did it. We read in Deuteronomy that if you carry out the law, you'll be righteous. And if you read through the Old Testament records, there are people who God says are righteous. He called Job righteous. Noah, others were called righteous. But they were never completely righteous. They never completely did the will of God. They just did so much better than everybody else. God sort of gave them the benefit of the doubt and said, okay, you're in. And that was good. I'm in no way discounting that. They were wonderful men and women of God. It's just that they, by their own abilities, could only go so far. Jesus Christ took us the rest of the way by being our complete Savior. So verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law sort of is like a report card. It points out what you didn't do right. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. So this is a new kind of righteousness. We read in Deuteronomy that if you completely carried out the law, you could be righteous. But this is a new, better kind. Like that front row ticket. But now the ticket that you didn't pay for is given to you. You bought the very best ticket you could, and you were way, way up high. But now the new kind of ticket that you couldn't afford, you couldn't get, but you have it. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What is this? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ believed perfectly and carried out God's will. And as a result, we have the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. See, we don't carry out the law to obtain righteousness. We believe that Jesus Christ did. We acknowledge him as our Lord. We believe God raised him from the dead. And then we get the full righteousness that he provided for us. It's unto all and upon all them that believed, for there is no difference. See, people like to draw differences between people. We know that in the first century church, there was a big difference between the Christians who were from a Judean background of the 12 tribes of Israel and those who were not, who were called Gentiles or Greeks. And of course, the Judean believers like to set themselves above the others, saying, well, we've been believing the true God all along. You guys just, you know, turned away from paganism last week. And so they tried to put themselves above them, think they were better. We're not only believing in this resurrection stuff, we're also carrying out all the Old Testament law too. Well, scriptures make it very clear that it no longer matters. There was a time in the Old Testament where following the Old Testament law was very important. But today, what matters is believing in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we don't have any big hierarchical structure, you know, where we have the, you know, the perfect holy people and then the moderate sinners and then the really bad sinners in the back row. We don't operate like that. There's no difference. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, God's way up here and we're down here, you know. I mean, let's say most of us are here and I have a really, really, really good day where I do everything perfect and really serve God. Okay, I've gone from here to here. For those of you that didn't notice, I raised my hand about an eighth of an inch. Okay, and then I have a really bad day and I'm a terrible sinner and I have bad thoughts. Okay, I go down an eighth of an inch. And then you're somewhere in the middle. One day you're better than me. One day you're worse than me. And we're arguing over who's the better person. But God's up here. What's the big deal? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we don't spend all our time talking about who's the greater sinner or picking on people's personal lives. We teach about the righteousness we have through Christ. Now, does that mean we don't want to live the Word? Of course we want to live the Word. But whether I live the Word or not doesn't affect my standing before God. I'm still righteous. I still have there's still nothing between me and God. Now, if I don't believe God's word and don't live it, I have a lousy day because I'm not getting God's help and having the peace of God in my life, but I still have that righteousness before God. You know, like let's say your rich friend buys you that front row center seat. Well, I mean, you know, you can still, you know, spill your Coke all over yourself and, you know, sit down in your popcorn that you spilled your Coke on. I mean, you can goof up your experience there, but it doesn't change the fact that you got that nice front row seat. Whether you enjoy it or not, or just fall asleep and miss the show, I mean, that's up to you. Well, we're righteous before God. Nothing's going to change that. Of course, we want to live God's word and get the blessings of, you know, having all those blessings of God in our lives and being able to help others. But even if I totally screw that up, I'm still righteous before God. Isn't that great? So there's no difference. All have sinned and fallen, come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified or made righteous by my own works. And I work harder than you do, so I'm more righteous. No. Being justified or made righteous freely by his what? Grace. Grace is a great word. To a lot of people, grace just means, you know, saying some little prayer before you dive into your meatloaf. That's one word we one way we use it. But in the Bible, grace means God's favor towards us. He has favor. He has kindness. He has does good things for us because he wants to. We call it unmerited because we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. He had no reason to other than he loves us. I think about a baby. I mean, what do babies do? They throw up on you. They wake you up in the middle of the night. They poop. They scream when they don't get what they want. But for some reason, we still love them. You know, imagine if an adult walked in your house and acted like that. Now, of course, we all know adults that do act like that, but we'll leave that alone. But when it's your baby, you put up with it because you love them. And that's the way God treats us. We whine, we scream, we poop, we do all this. Yet, we throw up on him. But God still loves us. That's grace. That's grace. That's divine favor. Just because he loves us, he takes care of us. So what's it say here? Being justified, being made righteous, being made right before God, being made lawful and upright before God by his grace, his unmerited divine favor, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. See, redemption is when you pay something off. You have a library fine, you pay it off. Now that you can check out a book. You know, you have a parking tick, you pay it off so they don't boot your car and tow it away the next time you drive in that city. Or if you're not going to pay it off, drive to some other city. Just don't go there. But you're redeemed when it's paid off. Well, we have a lot more in our lives than we can pay off. Because all men sin and fall short of the glory of God, but Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He redeemed us. He paid the bill. He settled the tab. Being justified, made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom Jesus Christ, God, hath set forth to be a propitiation, a payment through faith, believing in his blood. We simply believe that by his blood he paid for our sins to declare his righteousness for the remission, the forgiveness of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God has forbearance. He has patience. He has understanding. He has forgiveness. He puts up with us. Aren't you glad he does? We sometimes have a very hard time putting up with ourselves and other people. But God's able to put up with all of us. I don't know how he does it, but he does. I wouldn't have put up with me this long. But God does. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, verse 26, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in what? Jesus. God is just, and he justifies or makes righteous those who believe in Jesus Christ. Where is boasting then? How come some Christians get up and boast about how good they are and how bad everybody else is? They're sort of missing the boat. But you see, people will always devolve or go down to the level of comparing themselves with each other and deciding who's the greater sinner, and I don't sin as much as you do, therefore I'm more righteous. I mean, people always end up with a pecking order. It takes great renewed mind determination to continue to look at all Christians as all on the same level. I mean, the only difference we have among some other Christians is we've been blessed with a little clearer understanding of God's word than some people have. Are we more righteous before God? No. Does God love us more? No. I just thank God there's some things we've learned and we want to share with others. But as far as our standing before God, all Christians are identical. So we don't have to sit and, you know, boast about how great we are or feel inferior because there's some other person over here who's more superior. Before God, we're all the same. It makes it a lot easier. You don't have to get in a place and immediately decide the pecking order. Okay, who's the top cheese here? Oh, Jesus Christ. How's that? And we all just try to help each other learn and believe God's word. It's a lot simpler. Where is boasting then, verse 27? It's excluded, but by what law? Of works? It's excluded because we all worked hard? No, but by the law of faith, by believing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified or made righteous by faith, by believing, without the deeds of the law. Now, that's different than what we read in Deuteronomy, isn't it? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and then chose to shed his blood to pay for our sins, which is that redemption, that remission of sins. So since our sins are paid off, there's no conflict between us and God. In God's eyes, we are upright. We are lawful. We are righteous. We have been justified. That's pretty cool. Let's go to Romans 4. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, if he so perfectly carried out the law, that made him righteous, that he was justified or made righteous by that, he has something to brag about. But not before God. Because even if he could brag about how he as a person was pretty righteous, he couldn't say he's more righteous than God. For what saith the scripture, verse 3? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. So even Abraham, the friend of God, the father of believing, even he didn't live the law. Well, of course, he was before the law of Moses, but even he didn't carry out the commandments that God gave him perfectly enough to earn his own righteousness. But because he so believed God, God counted it for righteousness. It's like that little league coach again. He's got a bunch of kids who are a little uncoordinated, but they're trying hard. And there's this one kid that just really tries so hard. And he does everything the coach says, and he's got a lot of team spirit. You know, he may miss the ball every time, but boy, he's just got a great attitude. And so, you know, the coach keeps him on the team. Well, that's sort of the way Abraham was. He just had the greatest attitude, the greatest believing, the greatest confidence in God, even though he didn't perfectly live God's word. God count his believing for righteousness. And you know, throughout the Old Testament, that's an interesting thing if you look at it. Because there are a lot of laws, there are a lot of commandments, a lot of sacrifices and offerings. But then there are also places where God makes it very clear that he looks at the heart. Remember when Samuel sent off to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the king of Israel? He wants to pick the oldest because he looks, well, he's the oldest. He looked more king-worthy. But God said, nope, not him. So they brought the second son. Nope, not him. Got down to the seventh son who was out watching the sheep. The little kid, well, the youngest of that group. Teenager, probably. And God said, he's the one. And then God pointed out, don't look at his countenance or the height of his stature. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh at the outward appearance. But God looks at what? The heart. That's what God looked at. There are other places like in Isaiah where it says, I'm fed up with all your sacrifices. You come, you do all your sacrifices. You know, you sacrifice the right number of sheep and goats and grain offerings. But you don't believe what I say. You don't love me. You don't trust me. You don't live my word. He said obedience, living the word and loving God is more important to him than sacrifice. So God has always wanted to look at the heart. Sure, there's a lot of laws and sacrifices, but they were just sort of the outward things. The God thing God always wanted was to get people's hearts. He loves his people and takes care of them, and he wanted people to believe. And the same thing today. Jesus Christ completely fulfilled the law to pay for our righteousness. All we have to do is believe it when we get born again. Then we have the joy of living that way, living with that no conflict between us and God. It's a great, great thing. Let's keep going here. For what saith the Scripture, verse 3 of Romans 4, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I mean, if you go to work all week, you sort of expect to get paid on Friday, not just if your boss is in a good mood. I did the work. I want the pay. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth or make righteous the ungodly, his believing is counted for righteousness. See, just like Abraham believed God and God counted it for righteousness, in a similar way, we believe on what Jesus Christ did for us, and we receive righteousness. We're justified. We're made righteous. Let's read that again, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, verse 5, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10. I'll try to avoid saying corny things this week like go Roman through your Bible, but I can't promise I'll be able to hold my tongue. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. That's how we get righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we are right, we are upright, we are just, we are lawful before God by believing what Jesus Christ did for us. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, verse 30, who of God is made unto us, Christ Jesus is made unto us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Let me see, that was 1 Corinthians 1:30. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he, God, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. See, Jesus Christ never sinned. You know, like, let's say sometimes you read articles about some wonderful woman who worked her whole life, never spent any money, invested it somewhere, lived in this tiny little house, and then she died and, you know, like, left $1 million to her grandkids. You wonder, how'd she do that? Well, it's because she sort of saved everything up for her grandkids. Well, Jesus Christ lived perfectly. He had perfect blood. And he chose to let it be shed for us. And that's why we're righteous. He shed his blood for us. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And verse 16. Knowing, chapter 2, verse 16 of Galatians, knowing that a man is justified by the works of the law. So those of you that work harder are more righteous. No? No, of course not. Knowing that a man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith, the believing of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified or made righteous by the believing of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall what? No flesh be justified or made righteous. Now we know it talked in the Old Testament that if you completely followed the law, you were called righteous. And again, as I said, if you look through the Old Testament, you'll find some people that God calls righteous. But what it really means is they were about as righteous as they were going to get through the law. But as we read in Acts, Jesus Christ justified us from things that you couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. He completed the job. He did the complete, perfect job of making us righteous. Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified or made righteous by the law in the sight of God is evident. It's clear. For what? The just shall live by faith. The ones that are righteous live by believing. We're righteous by believing in what Jesus Christ did. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and verse 9. Yea, doubtless, Philippians 3, 9, 8, I backed up, seeing if you're awake, Philippians 3, 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, because it talks about all the background he had. He'd been raised as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, been to all the right theological seminaries and universities, and had all the right knowledge. But it was all about the Old Testament law. But then when he learned about Jesus Christ, he counted all that but loss. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said, I try to live the law, fooey. I've lost everything to do what I'm doing for Jesus Christ, but I count all that as a bunch of poop, that I can have this righteousness by believing in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by believing. And the great thing is, even being righteous before God, even having no conflict between us and God, we as people still have a very bad habit of condemning ourselves. We have a bad habit of thinking we don't matter. A bad habit of thinking God is out to get us because we're so evil. Well, look at 1 John chapter 3. This one to close here in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 20. Remember, it says in Romans 8, there's no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. That's very important to remember. Because in God's eyes, we're completely righteous. We're completely upright. Did you ever, been around somebody who just so believes in you, you can make a lot of mistakes and they still have confidence in you? Those are nice people to be around, aren't they? Of course, there are other people who are around that even when you're doing your dang level best to do everything right, they still find something wrong. And they're not as much fun to be around. But you love being around somebody that just so loves you and so has confidence in you that when you goof something up, they see beyond that. They see your potential. They look at the good stuff you've done and the good things you can do, and they encourage you. Well, God is sort of like that, but on steroids. I mean, way, way beyond that. Think of that nicest, most helpful, encouraging person you've ever been around and multiply it by about a gazillion. That's the way God sees us. Because in his eyes, Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. We're completely righteous before him. He knows we're going to goof up. We're people. We're made of dust. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. But he loves us anyway, and he's there to help us. So every time you find yourself screwing up, which we all do, just try to get past it and go to God for help. Thank him for his forgiveness, ask him for help, and move by it. And he's not going to be sitting there pointing a finger saying, "You dirty rat. You want me to listen to you? Forget about it." No. He's going to be saying, "I was wondering when you were going to ask for help. I'm here. What do you want?" He's just there. He just loves us. And that's the great thing about being righteous before God. There's no conflict. There's no sense of sin or guilt or inferiority. We're upright before God. We're lawful. We're righteous. We're right before God because of what Jesus Christ did. And God is there seeing the best in us, ready to help. We just have to go for help. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." So our heart condemns us. I did something dumb. I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. I wish I'd done this. Maybe I should have said this. Maybe I shouldn't have said this. You could go back and forth and drive yourself nuts. But God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. He knows we're righteous before God. He knows we have Christ in us. He knows Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He knows he's there ready to help us. He knows he loves us. Whereas I'm looking at all this silly little stuff and getting all condemned, God's bigger. "If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." And that's what we go for, and that's one of the reasons we have camps and read these scriptures. Even if we've read them 100 times before, we read them again because we just have to get it through our thick heads that we're righteous before God. We have been justified. It's all wrapped up in that spiritual new birth package along with the box of cookies and the pineapple. It's all there. You just got to unwrap the cellophane and chow down. We are totally righteous before God, and if our heart condemn us not, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. I thank you for the righteousness we have with you, that we are more than conquerors, that because we have been justified, we are righteous, that even though the whole world may be trying to earn righteousness by their own deeds, which they can never do, we have the joy of walking in that righteousness Jesus Christ already accomplished for us by his perfect accomplished believing as our Lord and Savior. And as this week goes by, may we see the practical implications, the practical applications, see how our lives can be changed and enriched by being aware of this and being totally cognizant of this, our righteousness, which your Son paid for each and every day. Thank you for a great day, for these wonderful saints, and all the great things ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.